Lord, use these words, simple words, that we might be blessed, Lord, and that it's done to your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Well, it's good to see you. Sight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And Mick said that in his prayer about sight and the disciples having their eyes opened, and I want to speak a little bit about that this afternoon. We have a phrase that we use, seeing is believing. I wonder if it is. Let's think about it. I wonder if it is. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by God. We have a wonderful world in which we can live. And we have fantastic senses. We have fantastic senses that we can experience the world and each other, see each other, see your smiling faces, made in the likeness of God. We can use our eyes to see one another. Yes. I'd like you to use your mind's eye for a moment and look back before there was anything that was in existence. No world, no sun, no moon, no stars, no space, nothing. The only thing that was there was God, the three spirits of God. I don't know where they lived or what their consciousness was like, because nothing was made until God made it. But you know, they decided that they were going to make a 3D space. It didn't exist before God made it. And it's very difficult for us to imagine in our mind's eye what was there or what it was like before God made space. Difficult for us to understand. We know that God always was. Yeah. We know that he says, I am, so he always is. And we know that he will be there forever. But looking back in our with our human minds, it's very difficult for us to understand and to comprehend that eternity. And that he was there, God, the three spirits of God, was there before anything was made. And can you imagine these three spirits saying, I think we'll make space, a three-dimensional space. What imagination they must have had. And we'll put some planets and stars in this space. And we'll make an earth. And we'll make man to go on this earth. And you know, God knows everything. And despite the fact that he already knew that sin would come into the world, despite that, he carried on and he still made us. In fact, all that time ago, in our terms, all that time ago, he knew about me, he knew about you. He knew what we were going to do. In fact, he'd got it all planned out. Before anything at all existed. And can you imagine the three spirits of God were there and they said, well, what is man going to look like? Well, we'll put a head, shoulders, arms, body, legs, a brain. Praise God. Eyes. You know, if you think about eyes, your daughter thinks about eyes all the time, doesn't she? Think about eyes. How is it that physics makes the light over there come all the way into my eyes. And my eyes turn the light that comes in to images of you. How does that work? It's a miracle of God. Everything about our physical bodies is a fearful and wonderful thing that God has made. And the imagination of our God must be immense to have actually decided to design us in the way that he did, and everything works together in our bodies, and our eyes give us light so that we can see. I can see back of the church, I can see Charles at the back there. I know for sure he's there because I can see him. Seeing in that case is believing. Don't let anyone ever tell you and believe it that we're an accident.
Never.
It's just not possible that we are an accident. When God made Adam and Eve, they too were perfect. They were clothed in garments of God. They had communion with God in the cool of the evening. A wonderful time with God. And then we know that sin came into the world. Death then came into the world. Sickness then came into the world. And despite the fact that God had made this absolutely fantastic body for us to live in, sickness came, sin came, and Adam and Eve were separated from God because of sin. And it's the same for us. They had to hide from God. God came, "Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you?" I'm sure God knew exactly where he was. Why did he hide? Because he was afraid. Because he knew that he had sinned and gone against the will of God. We've prayed for a lot of people who are members of our church here who have sickness. And we know that the Lord can heal that sickness because he paid the price for sin. He paid the price for sickness, and by his stripes we are healed. So back to the issue of sight. There's a guy in the Bible called Bartimaeus. And if you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people were there. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat in the highway by the side of the road begging. And when he heard, because he couldn't see, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And all the people around about charged him that he should hold his peace, that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded that he come forward, be called to him. So they called the blind man and said, "He's calling for you. He's calling for you. Be of good comfort. Rise, he's calling you." So Bartimaeus, casting off his robe, went to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said to him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus, just think about that man. In those times he was unable to do anything. All he could do was sit in the street and beg for money or food or clothes, but beg. And no doubt his father would bring him every day to the spot where he would sit and beg, and he would cry out for people to give him money, food, anything that he could get. He was unable to do anything. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn his living. He had no sight. He couldn't perceive what was happening around about him as we can. Brought daily to beg. His pride must have been shattered. His dignity must have been so low. But he heard that Jesus was passing by. What did he do? He called to Jesus. He called out to Jesus. Jesus hears when we call out. Jesus heard Bartimaeus when he cried out. He didn't wander on Jesus. He stopped and said, Somebody's calling me. Somebody needs me. When he saw Bartimaeus, he said, What do you want me to do for you? He said, To give me my sight. He couldn't see Jesus, but he had to believe before he could see. So the saying that we have, seeing is believing, is wrong. It's the other way around, isn't it? Believing is seeing. And blind Bartimaeus is a really good story that illustrates the fact that he called on Jesus. Jesus heard him. Jesus had compassion on him. And Bartimaeus just came as he was. He cast off his garments and came to Jesus, asked to receive his sight. He was healed and went on his way. I always think about these guys, men in the Bible that were healed of blindness, because they then had to go to work, didn't they?
Yeah.
They could no longer sit in the streets begging because they were blind.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, what is it that they would then go and do? You know, there are lots of spiritual parallels to the story of blind Bartimaeus. We were blind in sin, dead in sin, blind. But if we call out to God, He will hear us. And He will open our spiritual eyes because He has compassion on us, because He loves us. And then, like Bartimaeus, when we can see and see Jesus, we will follow him. There are many other references to blind people being healed, being restored. People who previously could only beg. If you turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 to 29. And Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out, Have mercy on us, son of David. And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, Yes, Lord. Notice that they said, Yes. And even in their blindness, they recognized him as Lord. Yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and their eyes were open. Believe first, and then your eyes will be opened. Matthew 15, there are more blind men that are healed. And Matthew 20, two men healed and were given their sight. And in each case, Jesus asked them, Do you believe that I can do this? And their response was, "Yes, Lord, we believe." Believing is seeing. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Interesting story, this. This is a guy where Jesus spat on his eyes, put spittle on his eyes. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus spat on his eyes and then asked the man if he could see. And he said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." And Jesus laid hands on the man for a second time, and his sight was restored. It's a really interesting story, this. Jesus didn't heal him first time, he healed him the second time. Now, do you think Jesus was having a bad day? No. I don't think he was having a bad day. No. Definitely not. It was an illustration to the disciples of the fact that their eyes were not yet open and that they needed to learn and see and follow, get closer to Jesus, because they had come so far and saw so much, but there was so much more for them to see. At that time, the disciples could, as the blind man said, only see things in a shadowy form. They didn't yet understand that Jesus would die and be risen from the dead. They had this understanding that Jesus was something special, but they hadn't quite got to the point where they were saying, "This is God. This is God. And yes, he has to die, but yes, he will rise again." So this miracle wasn't Jesus having a bad day and finding it difficult to make the blind man see. It was to illustrate the point that there is more and more and more for us to see. And in particular for the disciples at that time. So in each case of each account of blind people being healed, they all called on Jesus. He responded to them all. They believed before they were healed, and then their eyes were opened. So we can see the importance of our eyes. Really an important, a real blessing that God has given us, eyes to be able to see both physically and spiritually. Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. After Jesus had gone to the cross, and after he had risen from the dead, and after he had spoken to Mary Magdalene, and after she had gone to see the disciples and said, "He's alive, he's alive," they still locked themselves in a room because they were afraid. They were still only seeing those men in shadowy forms. They hadn't yet got their eyes fully opened. And so they were locked in a room because they were afraid. And Jesus came to see them. "Touch me. Feel my body, my bones. I'm here, I'm real." But not all the disciples were there. There's one very famous story, which we'll come to, of a man called Thomas. Now, Thomas, I don't think he'd think it was a blessing, but he's always been known as Thomas the Doubter. In actual fact, he was a great evangelist, and he actually died in India, having been a martyr's death in India, having been a great evangelist for the Lord. But if you've got your Bibles, if you could turn to John chapter 20 and verse 24 through 29. So Jesus appeared the first time, and then 8 days later, a second time. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came the first time. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I see for myself, I will not believe." I don't believe what you've said. I haven't seen it. So after the 8 days, when they were in the room again, this time Thomas was with them and Jesus came, the doors being shut because they were afraid of the Jews. Are they going to kill us in the same way as they killed Jesus? But Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and behold my hands, and put your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe." Believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord my God." I think it's the first time that we see the disciples call him God.
Yeah.
So powerful. So powerful. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that's our position. We have not physically seen Jesus. We might have seen him in our mind's eye. We might have had visions. We might have all sorts of sightings of God in that sense, but actually not physically seen him. And Thomas, "My Lord, my God." How fantastic. And I don't think he did put his fingers in the nails. I don't think he did thrust his hand into his side, because he knew that this was God. "My Lord and my God." That was just a fantastic little phrase that has such depth of meaning for these guys who were locked in this room and who were frightened. And now their eyes were opened. Now they didn't see men as shadows. Now they could see the fullness of the Lord.
Amen.
For the first time. So it's quite clear, isn't it? Seeing is believing, but actually in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, in our walking with the Lord as disciples, believing is seeing. In Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not what we see, it's what we believe. And we only need faith the size of a mustard seed to then grow into a fantastic mustard tree that is actually enormous. Small faith goes a long way and will move mountains and will heal the people that we've prayed for today who have not and are not well. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith. Faith comes first. Believing comes first. Trusting in the Lord comes first.
Yeah.
Putting our lives in his hands comes first. And one day, for sure, we will see him. And one day, for sure, we'll all be 33 again.
Amen.
Because we will be like him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We'll all be 33 and a third. When we see Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We don't have to see the Lord physically. We experience the Lord. We have faith. He has come to us. He found us. He has saved us. And we have put our trust and our faith in him. It's not about what we see. It's about believing. And then as we grow in our Christian lives, as we grow in our faith, we see and learn and understand more. Just like the blind man who only saw in part and then saw in full. We use the phrase the eye of faith, don't we?
Yeah.
The eye of faith. Faith comes first. Comes first. Really important to understand this, that it's not, you know, people will stop you in the street, oh, I've never seen God. I don't believe in God. How can you believe in God? You've not seen him. Doesn't exist. What nonsense. You've heard me say this before, but my father used to say, faith is forsaking all. I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all. I trust him. Praise God. By faith, we are saved. Not by seeing, but by faith we are saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Not by seeing, but by believing. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him, will not perish but have everlasting life. Famous verses that we all probably know and can quote, but are all about faith and about believing and not about seeing. You know, one day we shall see Jesus. One day we'll stand before him, we'll see his face, we'll see those marks in his hands. We'll see that mark in his side, that ring where the crown of thorns was when he was on the cross. I don't think we'll go rushing to put our fingers in the hands, just like Thomas. We'll want to embrace the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and in the and through the eye of faith, we've been able to see you and grow closer to you each day, drawing nearer to God each day. And as we draw near to him, as David will tell us, wouldn't he, if he were here, God draws near to us. Our step first, like each of those blind men, they all called out to Jesus first, and Jesus responded with compassion. Jesus responded and gave them their sight because they believed. Because they believed. So don't doubt. Don't let doubt creep into your lives. It can happen. Sometimes you think, what's all this about? Have faith. Keep that eye of faith on Jesus.
Amen.
Look to Jesus through that eye of faith.
Yeah.
Believe. Simply believe.
Yeah.
And everything else will be added unto you. Life abundant, eternal life, a crown of glory in the presence of Jesus forever. What a wonderful heritage we have waiting for us. What a wonderful inheritance we have waiting for us. And you know, all those blind guys that we read about in the Bible in heaven, they can see Jesus. And one day, so will we.